All right, I think we're live, and so here we go. So tonight, the title is, I don't normally just give you a title, sometimes I do, I just put it into Facebook Live, so I'll tell you, it's God's Woodshed. God's Woodshed is the title tonight. Hebrews chapter 11, when we looked at that, that was, you know, the great cloud of witnesses and what they did as competitors in the race. They got into faith, they accomplished great things by faith. And so last week, when we're looking at this, we're talking about running hard in the Christian race. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, right? Let's get in there. Let's do something for God. And so much of that race that we looked at last week is resisting, setting aside weights, casting aside weights, and resisting sin, right? So that we could be effective as runners. And so we ended with verse 4. And verse 4 says, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." And we referred back to the Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus Christ in his push in that final thrust to the cross. He was so in earnest against the adversary, Satan, that the Bible says that in prayer, his capillaries burst and he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. None of us have done that. None of us have resisted to that extent what Satan has thrown against us. So that's the race aspect that we start with in Hebrews chapter 12. Now as we get to verse 4, there's a bit of a transition that goes from the Christian race to the Christian family, okay, the family of God, or as we come into verse 5 here. And so Paul says, "Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children." Okay, so he wants to remind us of something that's easily forgotten, and that is that we're in the family of God, that God is our Father. And because we are God's children, we can't just ignore the weights. We can't just ignore the sin. Somebody could think, well, I'm saved, and you know, this whole race thing, I'm just not interested. I don't want to set aside weights. I don't want to really deal with sin. But the thing is, God's not going to let us exist like that as children in his family. You know, in our house, we've got house rules. There are certain things. You don't jump on the sofa, right? You don't run around corners. You don't run downstairs. You know, there's reasons why we have house rules. And if a child forgets the house rules, though we don't have them written on the wall, you know, we might stop them and say, well, wait a second, and remind about the fact this is our house. These are the rules in our house, and we obey the rules in our house. So Paul has told us in the race about the rules, but let's apply them to God's house. So the rules in God's house are, you don't carry weights, and you don't carry sin. You set it down, you get rid of it, so that you could do your best as a child of God. And so the thing is this tonight that we're going to be reminded of is, if I don't do that, I have the opportunity to say, all right, I'm going to get in shape, I'm going to accomplish something for God and for God's glory. But if I neglect to do that, God's not going to neglect to help me do that, all right? So he's going to step in because he's my Father, and he's going to get involved. But it's better for us to deal with it ourselves. As the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, speaking about the fact that God can judge us or we can judge ourselves, it says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Okay, great. Praise God. You know, we come to the Lord's table, we deal with sin, make sure that our heart's right with God. We can condemn ourselves. We're guilty, confess it, forsake it, God forgives us, and praise God. Or not, and if we don't, the Bible says, when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So God's going to take care of it, because he's already changed us and taken away our sin, but he's going to purify us and prepare us even more for glory. And I would say this tonight, even a good child at times needs a firm reminder about the house rules, right? I mean, a child could be sincere, a good kid, but they need a little bit of a discipline to help them be a better child. It could be the same with us. We could be sincere and earnest. I really want to please God, but sometimes God has to bring the pressure to bear to really kind of help us in our walk with God. So if I'm a child of God, I ought to expect God's chastening. So how are we responding to that? You know, as God brings that to bear upon our life, how are we responding to God's chastening? So our focus tonight is going to be five things you should not do when God chastens you, all right? We're going to kind of look at it from a negative perspective, what we should not do when God chastens us, and it's going to help us to know what we should do when God chastens us. So let's pray and ask the Spirit of God to help us as we come to the Word of God tonight. Father, we thank you for Paul and his burden for the Palestinian Jewish believers, that they would be godly. And Father, we thank you for everything that we've learned about the Old Covenant and the sacrificial system and the blood of the Lamb, picturing the blood of our Savior and his death on the cross for us, and the shed blood through which, by the grace of God, we can enter directly into the presence of God as a priest, having the right to access the blood, access the very mercy seat of God. And Father, we desire to come into that place tonight, even in our service, that we'd know the presence of God in these places. Lord, we're on Zoom tonight, but I pray, Father, in our residences, that we know the presence of God, that we'd be aware of the hand of God and the voice of the Spirit of God speaking to each one of our hearts. And Father, we can't listen as we ought without the Spirit of God helping us. I certainly cannot preach as I ought or at all without the enablement of the Spirit of God. And Father, we ask for your favor tonight. We ask for your blessing. We ask that you'd anoint this time. And Father, that you'd help in this time. I pray this tonight. If there's somebody that listens to this message and concludes that they are not a child of God, Father, we ask that tonight they would ask you for your forgiveness for their sin. They would ask to be adopted into the family of God and given God's gift of salvation and everlasting life. And Father, we just pray, have your way in every heart tonight. There might be some great decisions you want us to make tonight. Help us to make those decisions for your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so five things that you should not do when you are chastened. All right, so the first one tonight is you should not despise when God chastens. Don't despise when God chastens. Verse 5 says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. You know, if you're a parent, or you have been a parent with small children, you understand what it is for a child to despise punishment. It could be a little body that's just as rigid as could be, you know, a stiff neck, you know, that just that you can just sense that little body is, you know, might be a really small child, but they're just in complete rebellion against mom and dad's authority. And they think it's wrong that mom or dad thinks they have the right, you know, to bring discipline to bear, you know, upon them. They might say something in anger. They might, you might sense the anger, or you may look at the child. The child may not be saying anything, but you can tell that their little will has not yielded to the authority of mom and dad. And I've told the story before of my sister when she was little, and there's three in her family. I'm the middle child. She's younger than I am. And she was out playing with her little friend. She got in some trouble. She had to come in, and mom disciplined her. And she goes outside onto the porch, and her little friend goes, you don't love your mommy, do you? And Rachel goes, no. And from inside, you're Rachel Ann. And she goes, you know, she wasn't ready to get back out there and do what's right. She had a little bit of despising the chastening going on in her heart, and that meant that she needed some more chastening. I want to encourage our parents and any parents that, you know, don't stop loving discipline until the heart of that child submits. Why? Because what you're seeking to do is to help them so that they don't destroy themselves or destroy somebody else. And it's really important that they learn to appreciate the discipline that they've received and not to despise it. Is that Pastor Ben's idea or is that Bible? That's Bible. Proverbs 29 verse 1 says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. Okay, that's somebody that despises it. No, no, no. I'm not going to yield. I'm not going to give in. It could be us as an adult when God chastens us. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. In other words, get ready. It could be so fast you're not going to see what happened, and God's going to take care of it, and there's not going to be a remedy for it. And so it's a good thing for us to say, you know what, I don't want to despise chastening. I'd say to any kids that are listening, don't despise chastening. And as a spiritual child of God, I certainly shouldn't despise chastening. I want to just give us some ideas to help us with that. You know, how do I not despise chastening? Well, first of all, own your transgression. Own it. You know, accept the fact that, you know what? I messed up. I did something I shouldn't have done. You remember the thief on the cross that was mocking Jesus on the cross, the bad thief, you could say. And then you got the good thief. The good thief is a repentant thief that's going to get saved. He's going to get right with God. But he owned his transgression. He rebuked the bad thief and he said, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deed. But this man hath done nothing amiss." I mean, this guy owns it. He goes, "Well, you and I, buddy, we are here because we have done something to get ourselves here." You know, that's a great thing for us to get in a place and say, "God, I don't deserve any better because I have messed up against you." Secondly, accept your punishment. And that's what the thief on the cross did. He said, "For we receive the due reward of our deeds," right? This is what I deserve. The prodigal son, when he came back, what did he expect? To be made a son? No, he expected to be made a slave. He was willing to come back and take the punishment. We would say face the music, right? You know, if we're going to not despise it, we got to accept, okay, I deserve this punishment. I transgressed. And the third thing I would say to us is love your punisher. Love your punisher. You know, wicked people blaspheme God. They have this idea that God is an ogre and God is just overbearing and he's going to cast people into hell because he's mean and because he's unkind and because he doesn't care. And yet the Bible says the exact opposite of that. The Bible says 2 Peter 3:9 that the Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not excited about the fact that someday mankind is going to get their just dessert, right? I mean, what they have earned with their life and be cast into a lake of fire. God's not excited about that. In fact, he crucified his son to keep them from going there. And God does not get pleasure out of punishing us. The Bible says in Lamentations 3:33, "For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men." It's not in the heart of God to really desire to make our life miserable. And we're going to look tonight at the exact opposite. We're going to see that there's wonderful reasons why God is involved in our life in chastening. And so it ought to make us say, you know what, I love my discipliner and I'm thankful. And if that's the case, I'm not going to despise the fact that I'm being disciplined. So the first thing tonight, God's going to discipline us if we're a child of God. So when he does, don't despise it. Don't stiffen up. Don't resist his chastening. Secondly, don't faint when God chastens. Don't faint. Again, in verse 5, it says, "Nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." You know, he comes along and he says, no, don't do that. Don't be somebody that just gives up and just quits because God is correcting you in what is taking place. To go back to the running illustration, it's like a coach. You know, you got your athlete there, and athletes can be kind of cocky, right? They're the best at their sport. They're good at what they do. They know their sport, but they got a coach there for a reason. And if they're doing something wrong, he's going to look at it and say, "You could do that better. That's not okay. That's not up to par. You can achieve greater with that," right? And God certainly desires to do that and to help us. So imagine a young person, or as a young person, you love playing football. And, you know, some guy in the sideline yells at you. You know, it happens all the time, I guess, when you're playing football. Some guy in the sideline yells at you, and he keeps yelling at you, and he keeps saying what to do. And you turn over there and you say, "Who do you think you are, Wayne Rooney?" And the guy says, "Yes, I am." Right? And you're like, "Oh, okay, now you're shocked." But you're thinking, this guy, Wayne Rooney, cares enough to look at you and say, "Look, you could do this sport better. And I'm telling you how to do it better." I want to remind us tonight that when God rebukes us, that God has taken a personal interest in us. Isn't that amazing to stop and think about? I mean, that he cares enough to say, this is in your life and this needs to be better in your life. What a privilege we have to having God care that much about us. You know, the thing is, we shouldn't quit. No matter how often God has to step in and say, "This isn't right. I'm going to keep dealing with this until it gets right." We ought not quit God doesn't want us to. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Okay? Don't get tired of doing what's right. Don't get tired of doing it right. You might have to be corrected to get to that point, but don't be weary of that. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, a guy that will adjust every time the coach says, eventually it's going to become habitual, right? Eventually that's going to be the way they play the game rather than the way they want to play the game. And so don't faint when God chastens. And then don't despise when God chastens. And then the third thing, and Tommy, if you've got to go for the way you're feeling or anything, I'm just going to put it out there for you. Feel free to do that, because I know you've had some health concerns lately. But anyway, okay, don't doubt when God chastens. Don't doubt when God chastens. Satan is a liar. Okay, so as a liar, he twists what my sister's friend said to her, rather than saying, you don't love your mommy, do you? He says that he wants to say this to us, God doesn't love you, does he? Right? I mean, it's life's getting kind of tough there, a little bit of chastening going on. God doesn't love you, does he? Why does he do that? Because Satan wants us to doubt God's relationship with us. He wants to do everything he can to make us doubt our security with God. So don't doubt when God chastens you. So first of all, don't doubt God's love for you. Don't doubt his love. It says in verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Listen, if you're a child and your parents discipline you, you ought to say thank God. You ought to stop and praise God, because you know what? That shows their love for you. Proverbs 13:24 says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Okay, if as a parent, if you love your child, you discipline them. If you don't love your child, you just let them go on their own way. And the world says, wait. You know, if you discipline your child, that means that you hate your child or that you're angry at your child. And actually, it's the opposite of that. And the Bible's very clear about that. You study Proverbs. The Bible says you got to discipline your child if you love them. And it's easy to prove. Let me just illustrate it. Okay, parent A does not discipline. They let Johnny have his own way. Whatever Johnny wants to do, Johnny can do. Well, Johnny likes to play in the street. And so he plays in the street and he's having a great time in the street. He's not corrected. And you probably guess he gets hit by a car. Okay, not good for Johnny. Parent B does discipline. And Johnny can't play in the streets. All right, their little Johnny, he can't play in the streets. So Johnny plays in the streets. And what happens? Mom and Dad, no, Johnny. I told you, don't play in the street. Johnny plays in the street again. No, don't, Johnny. I said don't play in the street. Johnny gets a little bit of discipline. Johnny doesn't play in the streets because Johnny knows Mom and Dad said not to play in the streets. And if he plays in the streets, he's going to get disciplined. Johnny never gets hit by a car. What child is loved? The child that's protected, right? I mean, it's very easy to consider that. And that's a simple illustration, but it is manifold more in life. There are so many things that our kids need to be protected from, that as a loving parent, you got to step in and say no, because that's going to hurt you. And if you don't stop that, yes, I will lovingly discipline you because I care enough about you that no, I won't let you wreck your life just because you want to do that. That's love. That's biblical love. And so we remember that with God. God's not going to let us do something that's bad for us. You know, we're talking about weights. We're talking about sin. I think, well, I don't really want to take care of that. God's not going to let us exist as a child of God in sin and with these things in our life without bringing punishment to bear, because he knows that the end of sin is death. And so he's going to defend us from that. So don't doubt that God loves you. Secondly, don't doubt God's acceptance of you. Don't doubt that God has accepted you. Look at what the Bible says there in verse 6. He scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? I mean, they're just saying, every child of a father is chastened by the father. That's what a father does. He disciplines the children because he loves his children. You know, and as a believer, I could be wondering like this, why is my life so tough? I thought if I become a Christian, wow, I'm on easy street. I mean, that's what the Pentecostals, some Pentecostals want you to believe, you know, that health and wealth and prosperity and all these things, and never going to have a problem in your life. But we understand tonight that not only are there trials in life as a believer because Satan's throwing things at us, but that God might allow a trial in our life to chasten us and make us more like Jesus Christ. But I suppose somebody could be thinking, I didn't expect that. I didn't expect my life to be tough. And so they might doubt the fact that they're in God's family. You know, they might doubt that they have that relationship with God because it's going wrong. It's tough. And they didn't expect it to be tough like that. You know, when we got saved, we weren't physically born into God's family. God is one begotten Son. It's Jesus Christ. He is the only begotten Son of God, right? And so our entrance into God's family was by adoption. In other words, we obeyed the gospel. We accepted God's invitation into his family, took Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, put our faith in his death, his resurrection on the cross, from the grave, his death on the cross, his resurrection from the grave. We put our faith in what he did for us when he paid the price for our sin. And we believe that, we receive that, right? When we do that, we are adopted into God's family. Romans 8:15, for we have not received the spirit of a bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, right? I mean, we cry out, and it's the same thing being adopted as it is being a son. You're part of that family, legally and wonderfully by those parents. I think I've shared before that Roy Rogers, the cowboy from the United States and the movie star, you know, came over here with Ginger Rogers, his wife, and they were in Edinburgh. And there was a young lady that her name was Marion Fleming. She was in an orphanage here. She was actually born in an air raid shelter in Edinburgh back, I guess, around that time where they had the air raid shelters in use. She was here 13 years of age before she was adopted. You know, as they adopted her into their family, they had six other kids, and I imagine they were Christians, that there was some physical discipline that took place in that home. And she could initially think, oh, they don't love me, but in fact, the discipline that she would have received would testify to her that she was really a part of their family, because she was treated just like every other Rogers child was treated. I don't know anything about the discipline. I'm just imagining here this situation in her life. You know, if you're chastened tonight, it's not because God does not accept you. It's because God has accepted you. And because he accepted you, you are a part of his family. And praise God. You know, I just want to encourage you in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. It speaks about the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's awesome. Tonight, to think that, wow, God accepts me. I appreciated Andrew Bonner's book. I finished it last night. You know, he referred to David Brainerd, and I've read David Brainerd's memoirs and his diary as well. Brainerd continually struggled with a kind of a self-deprecating view of himself, condemning himself often. And excuse my voice here. Bonner looked at that and said, I would feel the same way if I didn't realize that I'm robed in the righteousness of Christ. And I said, I feel exactly the same way as Bonner about that. We don't have to walk around having mean views of ourselves. We want to be righteous, but our righteousness is found in Christ. Christ has made us accepted in the beloved. Praise God if I'm a child of God. Now, I'm saying don't doubt when God chastens. Don't doubt God's love. Don't doubt God's acceptance. But the third thing I want to just say is don't doubt unless you can sin without chastening. Okay, if I am sinning without chastisement, then I've got to stop and say, wait a second, Am I a child of God? Does God love me as a child? Am I entered into the family of God? So look at verse 8. It says, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards. It's a strong word, but it means illegitimate child and not sons. Okay, no discipline, no relationship. Again, somebody could look at their life tonight and say, you know what? I don't think I'm a child of God's. I can sin. I'm doing this sin in my life, and I'm fine. Doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother my conscience. Life's going well. No ill health. No financial loss. No struggles. Everything's fine. Well, if somebody can just exist in sin without chastening, the Bible says, "Hey, look, you're not a child of God." Now, I want to say to anybody that would get into that position tonight and say, "You know, I don't think I'm a child of God," that there's hope. You know, Marion Fleming said this about her life. She was 13 when she was adopted. And she says, people love my story. And it's kind of like this. There is always hope. You know, she's 13. That's kind of old to be adopted, but there's always hope. And I'd say this to anybody tonight. As long as you're breathing, there's hope. As long as you're alive, there's hope by the grace of God that you can be brought into the family of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to point this out tonight as well. Sadly, there's a lot of children that God wants to adopt, but they already think they're part of his family. I mean, they're already convinced that they're a child of God. And God's like, no, I'd like to adopt you. And they think that they are God's child. And the question Paul has to help them understand if they're God's child or not is, does God discipline you when you're living in sin? You know, as a parent, as an adult parent, if I'm in a shop and some kid is messing about, I'm tempted to discipline him. All right, I'm just telling you, there's something in my heart that goes, hey, boy, you need to get it. And, you know, that's there, but I don't do that. I don't need to do anything about it. But I might say to them, hey, look, honey or son, you need to do what's right. You know, I might say something, but because they're not my child, I'm not going to discipline them. It's the same with God. You know, God cares, and God may say, hey, look, don't do that. But God's not going to bring punishment like he would to a child of his own to bear upon that person. So that person ought to stop and think tonight, am I really a child of God? Can I sin? And you might know tonight, I've got sin in my life. Nothing's happening. Nothing's going on. That ought to concern us more than anything else, because it may mean that I'm not even saved. But if I am a child of God, when that punishment comes, I ought not doubt God's love, God's acceptance. Satan wants me to doubt, but I ought not. Don't faint, don't despise. And then fourth tonight, don't rebel when God chastens. Don't rebel when God chastens. It says in verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? And now I appreciate Paul. Paul gives the benefit of the doubt to the fact that we were obedient children, right? Mom and dad said, do this. And we said, all right. And they brought the punishment to bear. And we responded, said, okay, Mom and Dad, I'm going to obey, my earthly parents. And so Paul's argument is this. Since you obeyed your physical father, shouldn't you obey your heavenly father? You know, I mean, you yielded your will to that human parent. You ought to as well yield your will to your heavenly parent as well. We got a neighbor boy that's joining the Marines, and I can't imagine what he's going through right now. I think he's getting to the basic training and things like that. And he's got a man called a sergeant, and the sergeant's going to give him some instructions, and he would be wise to, and his other mates, you know, to the sergeant says it. And to respond, and yes, sir, right? And get right in there and obey him. But we understand tonight that if they obey the sergeant, that if you go some 15 ranks up or however many it is, and you get to the highest rank, field marshal, that when the field marshal comes and the field marshal says something, that they're going to respond, yes, sir, since they obey the sergeant. And that's kind of like what Paul's saying. He's saying, you obeyed your physical father. Listen, this is the top brass. This is God the Father coming and bringing punishment to bear upon you, it would be a great thing not to rebel against that, but to submit and say, yes, sir, when God does that. Again, praise God, God's interested in working our lives. We ought not rebel against it. We ought to get ourselves in there and say, you know what? I really desire to obey God in whatever that is. So don't rebel. Don't doubt. Don't faint. Don't despise when God chastens. And then lastly, tonight, don't forget why God chastens. Okay? Don't forget why God chastens. I'm going to grab a drink real quick. All right, don't forget why God chastens. My mom, and actually I just grabbed a drink. How interesting. When I was a child, my sippy cup was up on the counter in the kitchen one time, and it was there, and Mom, I was thirsty, and Mom said, go ahead, you know, grab it. I was like maybe 2 years old, something like that, and so I'd reach up to get it. When I'd reach up, I'd start crying and fussing, and she'd say, Benjamin, you know, your sippy cup's there. You go ahead and get it, you know. And so I'd reach up and I'd start crying while she gave me a little discipline to try to help me. And then she felt guilty because she found out when I was reaching up, my nappy pin was sticking me in the sides every time I reached up. You know, sometimes as parents, and she still feels terrible about that. And I kind of, you know, as a child, you kind of appreciate that. Sometimes parents can get it wrong, right? We can. It might be for our convenience. We're just sick of it. We're tired of the fighting. We're tired of, you know, what's going on. So we're going to step in there. We're going to solve it. Why? Because we're going to have peace in this house. And our entrance, you know, may not be as much in the benefit of that child as in the benefit of our hearing or our environment, right? It could be that way. Now, I would think most times as parents, there's some more to it than that. But Paul's argument is that parents are just disciplining to get that situation right. But he reminds us tonight that when God disciplines us, God is disciplining us for our benefit, for our benefit. It says in verse 10, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. Okay, just to make things better in the house. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Okay, God has stepped in because God wants us to be a partaker of his holiness. Now, to get to heaven, you have to be holy, right? You have to be righteous. Now, that comes immediately at salvation, but God would have us live holy as well, right? He wants us like the Lord Jesus Christ. So he brings punishment to bear in our life. Why? So that we can partake of his holiness. You know why? Because tonight it's possible to live a righteous life. It's possible tonight to live in victory. Sin is horrible. Sin destroys. Sin wrecks marriages. Sin wrecks families. God would have us holy. So God's getting in there. So he's going to benefit us with some discipline. To go back to Wayne Rooney. You know, he's looking at that kid saying, you could be the best. You could be the best. You know, I'm going to make you like whatever, you know, myself or whoever. I'm going to get you to play at the top of your game. God looks at us and says, my son is the best. My son is the best. And I'm seeking to make you like my son, right? So God is always seeking our profit, our benefit. And then secondly, for your fruitfulness, okay? God is getting in there because God wants to make us fruitful. It says in verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Okay, exercised thereby. It's an interesting statement, isn't it? But, you know, if I ask kids today, hey, is chastening joyous or grievous? It would be a rare child that says, hey, I just love chastening. It's great. I love it when mom and dad say, hey, over here, you know, we're gonna have a serious chat about something. No child leaves that saying that was great. They leave it acting like they were just about killed, you know, or something really bad just happened. But you know, it's not joyous. It's grievous. And listen, it ought to be grievous. It ought to be grievous. It ought to break our hearts as a child to have to go through physical discipline. Why? Because we hurt our relationship with our mom and dad. But praise God, on the other end of chastening, there's reunion, there's joy, there's peace, in the home. And it's the same for us and God tonight. You know what? God cannot fellowship with sin. God cannot abide sin. God has to deal with sin. And listen, our life is not going to be fruitful with sin. It's not going to be the abundant life. It's not going to be the life that God intends us to have with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, those wonderful realities that make us so satisfied with life. Fruit. They're not going to be there. He that winneth souls is wise. We're not going to reach people with the gospel if we're not right. God would step in. He purges us. John 15, verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. God's going to step in there. You might go, ouch. Well, hey, praise God, that's going to bear fruit. It's going to bear fruit. Just say, hey, you know, God, thank you for loving me so much that you want to make me fruitful. Praise God for that. For your benefit, for your fruitfulness. Third, for your fitness, for your fitness. It says, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. All right? Stop acting like this is the end of the world. You're getting a little bit of discipline. March, soldier. Get up there and stand strong and stand true and keep on keeping on. You know, it would be like Wayne Rooney again yelling at the kid and saying, come on, you're not working hard enough. Get at it. Get at it. Don't quit. Stay in there. Why? Because he realizes you get in a professional level game and you're going to be tempted to quit and you got to stick it out if you're going to win that game. Well, listen, for us, it's not a game. We're in a battle. It's a fight. And God knows this. Satan is out for our life. He's out for our marriage. He's out for our family. And God knows that if we're not fit, that's us. And so God would get us fit. He's going to push us. He's going to strengthen us and get us to everything that we can. And then the last thing, for your health. For your health. Verse 13. It says, and make straight paths for your feet. Get back on that righteous path. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Okay, you got to get in the race. Why? Because God may just say, you know what, time to hang up those boots. You don't want to run? You don't want to represent the team well? You don't want to fight? You don't want to stand? God may just look at it and say, I've tried, I've chastened, I sought to get you in there. Why? Because that battle is going to destroy you. And before you wreck my name, and disgrace my name, God may just say, hey, the race is over. That's it. That's it. And he's not going to say, welcome home, my child, well done. But he may say, welcome home, because that's it. You know, the Bible speaks about that. Even in that passage we looked at, the Lord's table, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation, judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For your health. God is bringing that punishment to bear, because if you don't get the punishment, you will get sickness. You might get death. And so God's going to say, hey, I'm going to do everything I can to get you in a place that's right with me. Okay, as a child of God, it's coming. It's coming. There's going to be times of chastening. And I need it, even if I don't feel like I need it. There might be times where I go, man, I don't feel like I need chastening, but I need chastening because God is at work in my life. So how should I respond, or how should I not respond? Well, don't despise when God chastens. We got to own it, accept it, love God, and say, okay, God, work this out in my life. All things work together for good to them that love God. God, I'm not going to despise this. Don't faint. Don't faint. Don't say, I'm quitting. That's it. I can't take it. Stay in there. Stay in there. God knows what he's doing. Don't faint. Don't doubt when God chastens. God, or Satan comes along. He said, God doesn't love you. Yes, he does. God doesn't accept you. Yes, he has. Right? Unless I'm not saved. Then I had to look at it and say, if I'm not being chastened and I'm in sin, then I need to examine my life. And then don't rebel when God chastens. Just submit. Just get in there and say, okay, God, I submit. I'm going to yield that to you. Why? Because it's profitable to you, chastening. It's fruitful. It gets you fit. It puts you in spiritual health. And guess what? That whole running thing, you'll succeed if you let God get you to the point of what he desires to do through chastening. So I can't just go. I don't want to get in the race. I can't just go. I'm not going to put down weights. Why? Because God's going to get in there. He's going to help me if I don't help myself. And so may God bless his word to our hearts. Let's pray. Ask the Spirit of God to do just that. Father, we're thankful for the word of God. And Father, sadly, we're so often in need of chastening. Father, I just pray, help us to search our own lives. But Father, when the chastening comes, I pray that we'd respond correctly. Father, maybe tonight that we'd have to confess our sin and say, you know what, I deserve this. And get forgiveness. And get right and realize that, you know, God is making us fit. He's making us fruitful. He's making us healthy. But it might be tonight, Lord, somebody's not saved. I pray, Spirit of God, that right now, yeah, wherever they're at, I just pray that they bow the knee before God and say, God, please forgive me of my sin and save me. I need to become a child of God's. I need you to get me fit for life's race, to help me finish my course. Father, the path of the righteous, that's the path. Everything else is nothing. It's wasted living. But Father, as a believer, we're privileged. We're on that path. Help us to run the race well. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, praise God. Glad you're here tonight. Glad if you joined us online. Thank you for joining us online. We'll say goodbye just now, but thank you for being here.